Welcome to Smashing the Plateau. We help you get unstuck so you can do what you love and get paid what you're worth. I'm your host, David Schreiner Khan.
If I don't see my own value, how on earth will my clients see it?
Today on episode 421 of Smashing the Plateau, I'm here with the boss of CEO Babe, Jessica Yarbrough. I'm going to ask Jessica about specific challenges facing female entrepreneurs and what mistakes they make with money decisions, how to break out of an hourly rate business model and build multiple recurring revenue offerings, and much more. You can read a description of our discussion, information about Jessica, including links and resources we mentioned in this episode, on our website at smashingtheplateau.com. We've produced over 400 episodes of Plateau Smashing Discussions with top business leaders. Email me and let me know what you want to hear from our guests. That's david@smashingtheplateau.com. Remember to subscribe on whatever platform you listen on and leave a review if you can. Now let's welcome Jessica Yarbrough. Jessica is the creator of CEO Babe. She is a successful marketing strategist and a leading business consultant for female entrepreneurs. Jessica helps women leverage their unique gifts to create high-end coaching programs, launch rockstar brands, build multiple streams of income, and create their online empires. Jessica, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, David. I'm happy to be here.
It's great to have you. So Jessica, what excites you about working with female entrepreneurs?
Well, I do have some male clients, but my target market is mostly females. And I think it's partly due to my journey of being a single mother and being on my own as a woman, having a child, building a business. So I really connect with definitely women, mothers, women out there who are maybe been playing small their whole lives and are ready to step up, take action, and create some real success in their life.
Yeah, you know, as you're talking about your own experience as a single mother, business owner, et cetera, I'm thinking it's 2018 and I wish there was more gender equality.
Yes.
In the world, and in particular in the US world.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It just isn't there.
It's not. And I actually just did a show and I had two women on who were very ambitious, driven women. And we talked a lot about that the disparity, not only in the workplace, but just in, you know, the entrepreneurial industry where women are not, we were raising young girls to accept less than a man. And how can we shift that and raise stronger, more empowered women who are ready to step up and claim their place as an equal amongst the male population?
Jessica, do you think it's different for women when they're playing in the business world as employees versus when they're playing in the business world as entrepreneurs?
No, I actually think it's the same, because you have lots of women who aren't going to ask for the raise, but you have just as many female entrepreneurs who are undervaluing and undercharging for their services.
So what are some things that you think women should be doing differently that they just aren't doing?
Number one, raise your prices. Like, absolutely raise your prices. I'd say 90%, if not higher, of the women that come to me are seriously undercharging. And they also, it might not even just be the price that they're charging, but they always give more. I'll give you an example. One of my clients, I just found out she's allowed four people to continue private coaching with her once a week for two to four months. I don't remember what it was, crazy. But anyway, if you can add up the amount of time and income loss simply because she didn't want to have that conversation. You know, same thing. You see it happen in women who are employed and not wanting to ask for the raise or take the first offer they get at a job instead of countering, you know, and you've got people who are willing to pay someone less simply because they know they're going to let them get away with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like her clients know, for example, in the example of my clients, that they've expired, their sessions have ended, that they haven't renewed. But as long as she's going to keep giving, they're going to take. So I see this happen a lot in women. So the shift is raise your prices, get really comfortable around having conversations around money, hold your boundaries, and work on your mindset, your self-worth on a daily basis.
Let's talk a little deeper about the conversations around money. I know this is a touchy area for many people. What do you see that women in particular do that's wrong when it comes to money?
I think, again, not holding the boundaries is a big one. So feeling uncomfortable about having that conversation, feeling uncomfortable around, okay, I've been at this rate for a while, or I've been doing 10 times more than what we initially negotiated in our contract, just not wanting to have that conversation out of fear. Fear that they'll lose the client, fear that they'll upset them, they won't like them, that they'll judge them. So it tends to be this lack of self-worth that shows up in, I'm going to give more because I don't feel like I'm even worthy of getting what I'm receiving. It's not enough. I'm not enough. What I do is not enough. I need to overgive. I need to overcompensate for something.
And how did you learn how to raise your prices, not give things away for free, have the right conversations about money, and hold your ground?
I learned the hard way after, you know, years of struggle and pushback. And I think a defining moment for me was when I had found out I was going to be a mom, and I had taken a 4-year break from the business world to pursue a vision of teaching yoga and traveling, backpacking the world. And it was a really beautiful journey, but it was not a high paying journey. And I had this moment where it was like, okay, you gotta go make some money, Jessica. So I went back into what I knew, which was marketing, and I just took whatever work I could get. And I took a ridiculously low rate, just because I needed the money and I needed to get back in the game. And I remember what they said, it was temporary. It was going to be a 1-month project, and it ended up turning into a 1-year-long project or something like that. And about halfway through it, or maybe towards 8 or 9 months into it, this person who had offered me a ridiculously low rate turned around and hired another outside consultant and paid him $3,000 to basically solve one problem for her. And here I had been accepting next to nothing for my work. And I was like, if he can come out there and solve one problem and I've done 200 things for her, like, this is wrong, right? So the realization was, if I don't see my own value, how on earth will my clients see it? And I raised my rates that day. They even tried to talk me out of it. I let them go as a client shortly after. And the next clients, I actually raised my rates 5 times. And after that, I switched to moving away from the hourly model and selling packages of really 5,000 or more. So it was a breakthrough.
Let's actually talk about this model of hourly versus packages. What prompted you to go from an hourly model to a package model?
What happened was, even when I raised my rates, and so I was making over $100 an hour, I still couldn't break through a certain income level. I was like, what is going on? I'm working all the time and I'm still not breaking through a certain income level because there's only so many hours in your day, right? And I realized that billing hourly is not a scalable model, and that if I wanted to take back control of my time and earn more while working less, then I needed to switch to a package retainer type model, and which I recommend to all agencies or coaches or consultants. And it wasn't just about that. It was about the relationship. Like, when you are billing hourly and taking the time to track your hours and submit invoices and all of that pain in the butt process, time consuming process, you're seen almost as an employee, right? It's not a mentor type relationship. But when somebody hands you $5,000 or $10,000, or they're on that $2,500 a month, $3,000 a month, and you're not having to submit an invoice for them, it's almost peer to peer at least. And then if you're kind of a consultant, it's mentor to client. So the dynamic of the energy changes just by virtue of switching more to a model. It's not, let me check your invoices. Oh my gosh, you spent this much time on this, right? This is the relationship. I'm not, you know, this is the value you get. This is exactly what you get. Here's your deliverables, 4 calls, you know, or this finished product, and this is the payment.
Right. Either it's worth $5,000 a month or it's not.
Right.
Yeah, it certainly is much simpler, and it definitely changes the dynamic. I've seen it in my own business, and I've seen it with my clients. Same as you. What do you recommend for people that might be afraid to change their model? What do you recommend they do?
I recommend that you're going to have to roll up your sleeves and get to work. And that might mean dropping some clients and getting some new ones so that you can track the ones that see your value. But I recommend pulling back an offer, like if you are in the service-based industry, maybe not coaching or consulting, but like branding or social media management, have a three-tier plan where, mm-hmm. you know, it's very clear at this level, you get this, at this level, you get that, and so on, and push people into one of those and take back, you know, control of your time. And it's very matter of fact, this is the way we're moving. This is going to streamline our approach. We're going to be able to serve you better, et cetera, however you need to frame it, and be okay with letting some clients go. It's okay. You're going to get more of the ones that are like, oh yeah, sure. I'm $1,500 a month to manage my social media and do my bookkeeping. Great.
Yeah. So how do you articulate exactly what you're going to get when it's a fixed fee monthly amount? How do you articulate exactly what is included and what is not included so that the client understands that they're receiving what was promised to them? And you're also, as the coach, consultant, or service provider, you're not dealing with project creep.
Yeah. Well, I think for a coach or consultant, it's pretty straightforward with mine. It's like, you know, you get weekly calls, unlimited Voxer access to me, and access to whatever programs I'm also running in the time. So my group programs, I will comp them access to that, or whatever workshops. So that one's pretty straightforward. The expectation is the work's on you. We meet, I tell you what to do, that sort of thing. Cause I'm very much strategy and accountability. That's what mm-hmm. my role is as the consultant. For done for you services, you just break out exactly what they'll get. If it's like, I'm going to manage one social media platform and I will post daily and grow your following by X amount or X percentage, we'll set the goals. It's $500. If I manage two platforms, it's 1,000 or whatever it may be. If it's funnels, you know, I will build up to 2 funnels a month and write and manage, send out, 20 emails a month. Like, you have to get specific and notice that there's a buffer. You may actually slightly go over your workload some months and you might go under, but it's going to balance out in the end.
Right. And I also heard you in one of the examples talk about what the results will be as well, mm-hmm. right? So yes. if you're looking to increase the number of followers on a particular social media channel by X percent, then that's something that's being promised as well.
Right. If that's part of what your expertise is, you know, we will grow. And there's lots of people who manage Instagram, for example, that say we will grow your following by 500 to 750 people every month. Like, that's pretty doable. So, you know, being clear about that and that there's a range if that's something they're interested in.
What's been your experience in trying to build recurring revenue for solopreneurs? Because as I mentioned earlier, lack of consistent, stable revenue is a major pain point for solopreneur experts, particularly people that may have been in their field for a long time and really haven't done a great job at actually running their business. They're really good at what they do, and they're good at delivering quality work to their clients, but not so good at marketing, sales, and in particular generating income that hits the bank account on a consistent basis every month.
Yeah, I mean, I have created, the way I've built my business is I've created multiple revenue streams. Most people don't start off that way, and they start off working with one-on-one clients, which is great. You know, that's where you start. You get that cash flow, but you can't solely just rely on getting the next client. Then you kind of go into this feast or famine type process, which is, it's not fun, because maybe a client drops off and then you're like, oh my gosh, a fourth of my income is gone. So what I recommend that as soon as possible, not only moving people onto a monthly retainer type model, one with a minimum, like for example, 3 month minimum commitment, because it's really going to take you 3 months to build things out and get some real results, right? If you're doing done for you services. And I know this because I used to do done for you services. It takes time to build all this stuff out. So 3 month commitment. But then also back building other ways that you can reach people. So my model is I have, you know, my one-to-one, my one, which is my private, my one-to-many, which is my group programs, my workshops that I run. And then I have my passive income, which is my evergreen courses. So some months I might get most of my income from the one-to-many. Sometimes my one-to-one dominates, but I'm always getting money from all three streams.
And for people that may not have figured out those multiple revenue models, what are some of the hurdles they need to overcome?
Yeah, well, first of all, you need to get really clear on what it is you're helping people do. Okay. Because I always say, start high, back build low. Like that is my model. I started off as a, you know, when I transitioned into kind of the coaching side of things full time, I started high ticket and I back built everything. And so figure out what is the thing that you're really good at. And hopefully if you're working with one-on-one clients, you've created materials, frameworks, recorded trainings, that sort of thing to help them get results. I would then take that one-to-one and run a group program. From that group program, that group coaching program on all those materials, you can pull back and create, you know, six different courses, or let's say you keep it simple and you just say, okay, from this group program, I'm going to create one natural lead into it and then back build your opt-in or back build a low ticket thing. So start high, back build low. That way you're not reinventing the wheel and you're just taking and repurposing content and selling it and back building your value ladder or your ascension model, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. Yeah, because once you have all that content created, you can repurpose it in other ways.
Absolutely. And that's actually what I'm doing now with a lot of my stuff is like looking at what do I have that I've created. And for example, I have my one-to-one, a group, and then I have a workshop. Well, I take in this workshop, which is basically like a $300 live virtual thing that's now recorded and done, as I pulled out one segment and that will become a tripwire, if you will, $47 product. And then I created an opt-in that, and it will lead all the way up to one-on-one with me at a $47, $297, $5,000 and $10,000 ladder. That's my ladder, all the way from opt-in. So, and I think if people would just understand that even people out there who are selling that $25,000 or $30,000, you know, 6-month programs or 1-year programs, most of them start with an opt-in and then like a $97 offer. So if you can get that concept of this back building and really see it as the lifetime value of a customer, you know, it's worth it. Because once you get someone into your funnel, you can keep upselling them, keep ascending them.
Let's walk us through an example of somebody who's going to become that $25,000 client from start to finish. How do they first learn about you? And then what's the first encounter?
Well, I will tell you that sometimes they can enter your funnel at different places, right? So I have plenty of people. My team connects with people and manages my LinkedIn. They'll connect with a new connection. And without even putting them through a nurture series, they'll get on a call with me and I'll close a $10,000 client that doesn't know me and, you know, hasn't been nurtured. It's just a high ticket sell over the phone. Okay. So sometimes people start high. I just want to kind of clear that out. But a lot of people and that are kind of following you on social media, checking you out, they're not going to just jump into something high end. Maybe that's not where they're at financially or they've been burned or whatever. And they want to check your stuff out. So something that someone might do is, for example, opt in to my 44 ways to sell on social media every day. And then from that, they might buy my next thing, my $50, how to put together awesome offers. And then from there, now that you've got kind of, because here's my thinking behind that. It's great if you know how to sell, but if you can try to sell every day, but if you don't know how to put together great offers, no one's going to buy. Okay. Now they've got the offers. Now they know how to do offers. Well, now you're putting out offers. But you don't want to just put together low ticket offers all the time. You want to be able to sell and get those private clients, but you need to know how to close them. So now a sales workshop. Okay, great. Now you're serving high end sales. You want to scale. Now it's time to build your empire. Okay, here's my group program. Let me show you how to build multiple streams of income, just like this process I took you through.
Right. It makes perfect sense. Now, Jessica, whom do you know personally who has done a really remarkable job of doing some of the things that you've just described and smash the plateau?
I would say Ryan Stueman. I don't know if you know who he is, but he is the creator of Hardcore Closer. He went to prison twice. He's been bankrupt and he has come from nothing and built himself up many times. And he has eight-figure companies now and just a real force. And I had him on my show and I saw him speak on stage a few years ago. And it's like, just to know that someone who didn't go the normal route or who had so much thrown at him could go on and create so much success is really just incredible.
Wow, what a great example. And what's coming up in the near future for you? What do we have to look forward to?
In the future, well, I'm taking a month and going to Europe. That's so you can follow me on social media and watch my journey in Europe. For me, it's about putting together, you know, more programs, serving more people. These workshops I run get incredible results. I mean, especially people paying $300 or $500 and generating multiple five figures in sales within a few weeks. So keep getting the word out about these particular offers so that people can grow their business exponentially.
Sounds great. And do you have a free gift for our audience?
Absolutely. I'll share the link. I can share the one that I just was talking about, that 44 ways to sell every day. So if you're like, hey, I'm showing up to social media, how do I sell? You can just grab that list and pick five sales generating activities of those 44 that you can do every day that will help bring you cash in.
And what's the link to get that?
I can drop it. It's actually a bit.ly link. Do you want me to read it out to you?
No, we'll just put it in the show notes.
Okay. Otherwise, it's ceobabe.clickfunnels.com/ Well, I haven't got the rest of it. Something like that.
We'll put it in the show notes.
It's a long one, right?
Right. So what, Jessica, what's the best way for listeners to learn more about you and follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram, The CEO Babe. You can follow me on Facebook, CEO Babe. Definitely check out my personal profile, Jessica Yarbrough. It's where I have my weekly show, CEO Babe Live, every Tuesday at 1 p.m., interviewing celebrities, industry experts, authorities on how you can grow a super successful online business.
Sounds great. Well, Jessica, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau and share your experiences and your insights. My guest today has been Jessica Yarbrough, boss of CEO Babe. Thank you again, Jessica, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
When you visit the Smashing the Plateau website at smashingtheplateau.com, you'll find a summary of each episode along with the links we mention on the show. Today, we discussed specific challenges facing female entrepreneurs and what mistakes they make with money decisions, and how Jessica Yarbrough broke out of an hourly rate business model and built multiple recurring revenue offerings. We've produced over 400 episodes of Plateau Smashing discussions with top business leaders. Email me and let me know what you want to hear from our guests. That's david@smashingtheplateau.com. Remember to subscribe on whatever platform you listen on and leave a review if you can. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our show. I'll see you on our next episode.